Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. And we provide you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. This is day one of Hawaii Public Radio's spring membership campaign. I'm Bert Lum. And during this special spring membership drive, I've invited Ian Kitajima. He's the president of PICTER. And he's here to talk about workforce development, education, and ag tech. And another little special feature of Ian Kitajima is the fact that he's a member. And, you know, I guess truth be told, I try to find my members that are my guests for, especially during the pledge drive. It has a special connection there. So I just wanted to share that, you know, to in all honesty and full disclosure. Of course, during our live broadcast, the phone lines are reserved for your show of support. And of course, we're looking for new members. So if you enjoy our weekly tech talks, we hope you consider supporting the great original local programming right here on Hawaii Public Radio. And of course, you can show your support by going to hawaiipublicradio.org or calling 888-536-4700 to become a member. And right now, I want to welcome Ian back to the show. Welcome to Bite Marks Cafe, Ian.
Thank you, Bert. Great to be back. Aloha.
Yeah, well, you know, Ian, I have a hard time kind of keeping up with your crazy schedule. And, you know, I've had you come on and talk about some of the ag tech projects, initiatives that you're working on. And one of the things that you just completed was a sort of a marathon trip to Korea, and this is all kind of being done in your function as president of PICTER, Pacific International Center for High Tech Research, as well as your work with Design Thinking Hawaii. So maybe you can sort of, before you get into the details of Korea trip, I mean, how do you weave, you know, PICTER and design thinking together and to pull something like this off?
Sure. Yeah. So. So Design Thinking Hawaii started many years ago when, you know, when I was at OceanNet and we were doing all the design thinking work, and you know, a bunch of folks who were sponsors and such needed a nonprofit for them to support. And so that kind of started all the design thinking stuff, but all of that was pretty dormant until, you know, my recent retirement from OceanNet and coming back to kind of restart the design thinking nonprofit. And so you know, a lot of our work has been around design thinking and then computer science. Bert, that you were, you know, instrumental in helping us get going back in 2017. And then as I was transitioning out of OceanNet, you know, a big focus I thought about was around agriculture and food sustainability, because we had all been experiencing all of the supply chain issues. And of course, many of us who have come to Hawaii came because of the plantations, including my family. Mm-hmm. And so ag became kind of like, oh, this is a very, you know, it's kind of a foundational, it's part of our DNA here in Hawaii. It's part of our culture. And so, As I was focusing on that, looking at that, I also had the opportunity to take a look at joining PICTER, which is the Pacific International Center for High Tech Research. And PICTER had been around for like almost 40 years, and a lot of that work was around international collaborations, technology collaborations between the United States and Japan. Mm-hmm, and so I'd already been going to Korea for 10 years, right? And then now getting reconnected back to Japan, because in a previous life, I was in the toy business, primarily in Japan. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, this is an interesting opportunity through PICTER to kind of expand the work that we're already started in Hawaii, but connect to Japan and South Korea. And so that where I could see the synergies between that. And so, of course, we have many Japanese clients as well as Korean partners, and Japanese partners as well. So it just kind of made sense to kind of pull these things together. And so it's been crazy since I retired from OceanNet. Yeah, it's been, I'm busier now than when I was at OceanNet, which is hard to imagine.
Well, you know, and I think it's kind of gratifying for you to see the work that you started now take on kind of a new shape, a new initiative, and you're the catalyst. You're the tip of the spear for a lot of this work. And I remember you and I, you know, doing some of the media tours on Altino, which is like a programmable car. You've always been looking at introducing programming and some of these cool devices into education.
Right.
And education has always been a key cornerstone for you. And so when you know, this trip to Korea was really focused around educators and the ag tech business. So tell us a little bit about what's the main thing that you want to share with your participants who went with you to Korea?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, you know, just to back up a little bit, I just, so people know too, right? The reason why I feel so passionate about education was because I was such a bad student.
and that's why you know,
I'm a Castle alum. I love, you know, Castle is, you know, and King and Kunyeol and, you know, Winter Community College. I'm an alum of all of those schools, and they were so supportive for me to graduate and get through the education system. And so I'm so appreciative of what was there and how do we keep growing that, right, and helping our young people, because I was not engaged in school as much. And so so many of the things that we do and I do is, and we do, Bert, is part of it because these are the things I wish we had when we were going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of why the ag tech thing started to become, at least in more of my mind, was because of the computer science stuff that we had worked with the DOE on, and many folks out there, you know, yourself included. When I went to Korea, I saw these desktop farm simulators that you could program.
Mm-hmm.
And that really was like, whoa, wait a second. They have these little miniature farms to teach kids how to code and do programming. And I thought, wow, this is really novel. I had never seen anything like it. So instead of programming a car, the kids program a farm. And that's when it was like, wow, maybe there's a way to connect the computer science movement that's happening in Hawaii with agriculture. And if you thought about, if you think of it in agriculture, then you're really thinking about Aina. And then if you're thinking about Aina, then you're really talking about Native Hawaiian culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was like, to me, like the aha moment. And then I went back to Kamehameha Schools, our partners at Kamehameha Schools, and said, hey, would you work with us to incorporate Native Hawaiian culture, language, and stories and wisdoms into our computer science curriculum, our workshop materials for teachers that we're putting together. And so thanks to Kamehameha Schools and their team, last year we ran several workshops to start incorporating Hawaiian culture and language into the work. And that really started everything. And then we had taken a trip with some folks, and then those folks were so excited about what we had created in terms of these ag tech trips or tours that it kind of spread. We did three trips last year, and that really spread very quickly. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was really getting all of these requests.
Well, Ian,
the different complexes.
Yeah, and I do want to kind of get into like who started to resonate with you and your program, and who are the typical profile of the instructors or the educators that join you on these trips. But we want to hold that thought. We'll be right back after the short break to continue our conversation with Ian Kitajima, president of PICTER. And he's here talking about workforce development, education, and ag tech. And, of course, it's a monumental trip to Korea. And if you enjoy local programming on Hawaii Public Radio, you can show your support and go to our website, hawaiipublicradio.org, or you can give us a call at 888-536-4700. Now, let's go ahead and check in with our buddies over at Pledge Central. We got John Zach and John Allen. Take it away. And, of course, we're back live in the studio. This is Bite Marks Cafe on Hawaii Public Radio. This is the first day of the spring membership campaign, and I'm hoping that you help us meet our goal. So, of course, you can do that by visiting our website at hawaiipublicradio.org or give us a call at 888-536-4700. And, of course, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Ian Kitajima. He's the president of Pictor, also one of the founders of Design Thinking Hawaii, and also a member of Hawaii Public Radio. What a coincidence. And, of course, he's here to talk about workforce development, education, ag tech, and, of course, helping to reverse Hawaii's brain drain. Hey, Ian, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Bert. Yep, great to be with you.
And when we were, right before the break, we were talking about this marathon trip to Korea. You've really kind of built up a pretty substantial following. It's all about computer science. It's about ag tech. It's about getting educators exposed to the potential, the opportunity. Tell me a little bit about your flock. I mean, who's following you to Korea and learning about all this?
Well, it's been quite interesting. I mean, you know, as I mentioned, last year in 2023, we took three trips, and even for me, I've been to Korea over 10 years, going for 10 years, and seeing this side of Korea where they're essentially creating a new industry. They're creating an ag tech industry.
Mm-hmm.
The Netherlands and, you know, in Europe, they're kind of the leaders in ag tech, but if Korea does what they did in automotive, in consumer electronics, movies, music, they're going to probably become a leader in this new industry that they're creating. But they're starting it domestically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really this weaving of agriculture and technology, as well as education and government. I mean, if there's three elements that make all of that possible in Korea, is because government, education, and industry are working together to actually create like a whole new industry. But in order to do that, they have to really work with educators and young people. And so, as part of the trips, we've been visiting not just companies and technology companies, but really we've been visiting schools and universities to see how they're incorporating agriculture and technology into school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well,
so
you know, that's
pretty amazing.
What you just described is basically the formula for success. So, Ian, this is super exciting. Now, with the participants that go with you, they're educators from Hawaii. What are their takeaways, and what is it that you would envision as being the ideal, I guess, next step?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think the reason why we're taking educators is because there's Auntie Poonani Burgess, you know, shared with me one time this kind of Hawaiian version of this idea. If you plan for 1 year, you know, plant kalo.
Mm-hmm.
If you plan for 10 years, you know, plant koa. But if you plan for 100 years, teach the children aloha aina, to love the land. And so this ag tech thing we're talking about is that it's going to take a long time. It's going to take decades. So that's why starting in education to me was where we had to start, and where it'll take time. But really, I think when we take these educators to Korea, part of why we take them there is because it's so hard to explain what is happening there until you go there and you see it. And then when you see it, then you realize, wow, this is actually possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's inspiring, but it's also like possible for us in Hawaii, right? And I share with the educators that you can't take what they have and wholesale bring it to Hawaii. You have to look at what they're doing and find ways that we can adapt what they have to make it work for us in Hawaii.
Can you describe a little bit of an example of what technology that's in Korea and how it might be applied in Hawaii at the school level?
Yeah, so like in many of these kind of ag tech high schools, they have, you know, they have smart farms. They have these smart farms where the students are actually growing all types of vegetables and different things. And at the same time, they're learning all of the science and the biology about it, mm-hmm. as well as the business side of things, mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, these facilities require energy, mm-hmm. and in Korea, their energy costs are about 10 times cheaper than us, ours in Hawaii. So imagine their energy costs are about 10 times cheaper. So they can use energy in ways that we just cannot. So part of it is, I'm telling our educators, like, okay, we can have these kinds of greenhouses, but we have to figure out a way how to do it with less energy. But at the same time, the most important thing is to keep the bugs out. That's mm-hmm. the one thing you start realizing that in Korea, because you have these harsh winters, you have winter kill. Mm-hmm. So you kill off all the bugs. Mm-hmm. But in Hawaii, we have beautiful weather, so we have lots of bugs. But that's the thing that really kind of reduces the yields in terms of our farms. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do we learn from the guys in Korea and then actually create ways to actually do this kind of growing in controlled environments with lower energy, keeping things cool, keeping things circulated, but most importantly, can we develop ways to actually keep bugs out and pests out so that we can improve our yields of our growing? Right. We have many blessings in Hawaii, and so part of it is how do we do this, right?
And I guess the challenge is figuring out how do you balance between the technology, the automation, and then the natural conditions that you are now operating in, where right. now you have to look at, you know, what is the natural conditions for these bugs to thrive, and how do you kind of like manage that situation?
Right. Right, right, and these bugs are, I'm sure they're, and so many of them are actually, you know, are vital to the ecosystem and how we grow things. Mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. part of it is, so this is the learning that's required from our students. And
right, right.
And part of the reason why we work with the educators is because they have to navigate this the part of learning. Right, education is really, really challenging. I mean, I have so much respect and admiration for educators because they have to hopefully keep kids engaged and wanting to learn and really love learning and not kill that kind of fire inside mm-hmm. while trying to bring all of these really innovative things, but knowing that they have a lot of check marks they got to kind of go through, right, and the grades and all of this stuff. And that's part of, I think, one of the things that's probably the biggest challenge is how do you bring innovation and the things the students want into their school day, and not just have it be an after school program.
Yeah, and
so this is a challenge, right? This is a big challenge.
Well, and you know, this is the early stage of this program that you're talking about, and I'd love to see how this kind of develops over time. And I think you have a bunch more trips in the queue, right? Well, we got just a short amount of time, so I just wanted to kind of like give you a chance to share where can people find out more about what it is that you're doing.
That's a good question. Like so much of this is so you can go to our website. So there's the designthinkinghawaii.org website. You can go to the PICTR website, so PICHTR.org. And you got to reach out to me because these ag tech trips are not necessarily advertised on our websites. These are requested by the schools and the complexes.
Ian, we'll definitely connect people. And of course, it's all word of mouth in Hawaii. Ian Kutijima is the executive director, president of PICTR, also founder of Design Thinking Hawaii, and is a key, I guess, component in some of this advancement of ag tech and workforce development in Hawaii. I want to thank you, Ian, for joining us. And, of course, thank you for listening,
listening
to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll catch up with the force behind the Shaka sign. In the meantime, don't go away. You can enjoy local programming like Bite Marks Cafe on Hawaii Public Radio. And, of course, you can show your support by going to hawaiipublicradio.org or calling us at 888-536-4700. Now, back to John Zach and John Allen over at Campaign Central.